to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, May 3rd, 2020, by the Reverend Eric Williams. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our scriptures today, especially the reading from Acts, Jesus' disciples found themselves in a new situation, unprecedented. They had mostly grown up as fishermen, living in Galilee in large family groups, but they had left their nets years before to follow Jesus, and that strange path had led them to Jerusalem, to the big city, cut off from their work, from their family, and from their way of life. In these new circumstances, they had to figure out how to live into this calling, to keep following Jesus, the risen Jesus. They had to invent a new way of being, a new economy, if you will, a Christian economy, and so they did. They chose to live for others by keeping their lives simple, by focusing on the we instead of the me. As Acts puts it, all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. They lived, in a word, with simplicity, with authenticity, with gladness and generosity, always putting the we ahead of the me. I thought about this as I thought about the many discussions that we're having in our society about restarting our economy, about re-entering society. How might we think about the world that we want to enter or to re-enter? You know, the coronavirus has exposed many deep inequalities in our society. While many of us have been able to work from home and shelter in place, that has not been possible for most poor and working class people. They've had to ride buses and subways in New York and be in crowded factories and meat processing plants, etc. As a result, they are getting sick and dying at a vastly disproportionate rate. As Christians, this should bother us. The Bible and our faith offer us continually a vision of we versus me. Despite the coverage of protesters at the state capitol, by all accounts, we are more united right now than we have been since 9/11. More together, more we-oriented. Our shelter in place is, in fact, an act of love for the welfare of our fellow human beings. It is about we instead of me. Yes, we can't wait to get back to normal life. We can't wait to restart the economy, to put people back to work. But it's a good time to ask what we also might want to do differently. You know, it's been heartening to see nature healing a little bit, hasn't it? It's been inspiring to see the heroic efforts of those who are working despite their fear of the virus to keep the rest of us going. It hasn't been sports stars or celebrities who've been the heroes during this. It's been the invisible workers, many of them making minimum wage or slightly more, the hospital cleaning staff, the night shift stocking the grocery stores, the bus drivers, the gig workers who deliver groceries and meals. It's been the truck drivers, and God help them, those meat processing plant workers. It's been the aides in the nursing homes. And of course, it has also been the researchers, the doctors, and the nurses who are working to treat and hopefully to cure coronavirus. It's been people at home, too, sewing masks. It's been people donating food and money, volunteering at food pantries and shelters. And those heroes remind me of the first Christians from the book of Acts, who were all about the we instead of the me. The very first Christians had a simple recipe for life, a life lived for God, praying in the temple as often as they could and sharing communion at home as they were able. A life lived for others, caring extravagantly, we would say extravagantly, for those in need. They knew that their life was firmly in the hands of God. They trusted God's providence, God's mercy, God's abundance, and God's love. They knew how to hear and follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. It is really that simple. It's not easy, but it's simple, because there are many voices calling us all the time. The voice of fear, the voice of scarcity, the voice of greed, the voice of anger, the voice of the ego, the voice of me. Those voices are, in the end, all thieves and robbers, because they steal the meaning and the joy from life. A life lived only for me is not a life worth living. It's not a life with community. It's not a life with joy. And it's not a life with satisfaction. Our job is to tune out those ego voices, those me voices, and to focus as much as we are able on the voice of the Good Shepherd, who calls us by name and who always leads us to good pasture. As the beloved 23rd Psalm puts it, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of COVID-19, I think that's the original version, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me, those people and those voices, those fears. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is not just full, my cup is running over. May the voice of the Good Shepherd lead us into a world where all of God's sheep can find good pasture and live together in peace and plenty. A world of we, a world of love. Amen.